Good morning. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I've got to shout out your rector, Amy. We met at the interfaith pray-in for Gaza that took place about a month and a half ago in front of Senator Padilla's office in the city. And we really hit it off. We both grew up Sabbath keepers and reminisced about how onerous that is when you're a kid and how boring. I just felt the warmth that she found in her community, and it was a prelude to the warmth that I feel here today. So I thank you for sharing that with me. You are gonna hear a lot about Jesus today, so, you know, strap in. Our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord Jesus, was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up. Take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." And I just want to say that, sister, your reflection really struck me today. I don't share all of the doctrinal similarities with you, but I am a universalist. As my rector at Good Shepherd in Berkeley says often and loudly, I am convinced that God leaves nobody behind. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. In our gospel reading, Jesus was in a house hanging out. Maybe Jesus was in that house on the second floor, no less, because he wasn't planning on any public appearances that day. Maybe he needed a nap. He was famous for naps. If that's the case, the crowds in this town called Capernaum clearly had other plans for him. They had heard of this one called Yeshua, who was healing people, forgiving sins, confounding the authorities, and they wanted to see him with their own eyes. Maybe Jesus could help them too. So they jammed into the house, and when that was full, they packed themselves in like first century sardines around the building. There was at least one man, though, who wanted to see Jesus as well. But unfortunately, in their enthusiasm, the crowd had forgotten and excluded him. This man was paralyzed. He could not move without assistance, and so could not join the crush of people to meet the Messiah. The crowd had made themselves a barrier between Jesus and this man. But the man clearly had faith. Faith that seeing Jesus would heal him. And for our purposes, apparently the man had some great friends too. Four friends willing to help him. We don't know if they had their own individual reasons for being there that day to see Jesus, but we know that they set aside whatever they might otherwise be doing with their time in order to hoist a grown man to the top of a two-story house, dig through a roof, and lower their friend down to meet Jesus. They showed solidarity, empathy in action with this man. They dug through the tiles of this house, scratching up their bare hands and risking the consequences, social and otherwise, of property damage, to get their friend to Jesus, to knock down a barrier. Jesus commended these friends for their solidarity, again, empathy in action, with their friend on that mat. Before addressing the physical difference of the man on the mat, which everyone else assumed to be the root of the problem, Jesus addresses the men who broke through the barrier separating that man and Jesus. Jesus takes the time to point to the removal of the barrier because this is the essence of the coming of the kingdom of God. No more barriers separating us from ourselves, separating us from each other, and separating us from God. We're brought together by an all-encompassing love, no longer separated by justice or inequality. Over the past 4 years living in Berkeley, as a person with a disability myself, I've had the joy of learning about the beginnings of the modern disability rights movement, which started right there in Berkeley. One of its most important early trailblazers was Ed Roberts. Ed Roberts was born and raised in the Bay Area, actually in San Mateo. At age 14, he contracted polio and became paralyzed from the neck down, needing a wheelchair to get around, and was further limited in his mobility by the breathing support systems he needed, which were large and cumbersome at the time. Despite all the educational barriers he faced, he managed to graduate high school and community college and get into UC Berkeley. He was almost rejected when the university administration found out he needed a wheelchair and breathing support, with one dean commenting, and I quote, "We've tried cripples before, and it doesn't work." After winning the fight to be admitted and to live on campus, Ed set to work immediately building fellowship with other disabled students and community members, forming an informal organization they playfully named the Rolling Quads. Common to all of the Rolling Quads was the absolute impossibility of navigating Berkeley in a wheelchair independently due to the sharp right angle curbs that separated the street from the sidewalk, even at intersections. The Rolling Quads, determined to live on their own terms, got to work. At night, the quads and helpful friends went out with sledgehammers and bags of concrete, using the cover of darkness to smash curbs at intersections and build rough and ready ramps, enabling wheelchairs to move freely from sidewalk to sidewalk. This guerrilla construction, we'll call it, eventually became a political campaign which pressured the city into building curb cuts and ramps all across Berkeley, a pattern repeated elsewhere in the country and eventually enshrined in federal law, making cities easier to navigate, not just for wheelchair users, but for countless others. Ed Roberts and his generation of activists made the Americans with Disabilities Act possible, and their work continues to inform and inspire those campaigning for inclusion and accessibility today. One thing I want to say unequivocally is that freedom is always going to start with agency. Both in our Bible passage and in the beginnings of the modern disability rights movement, the change for inclusion is initiated and directed by the people who have been excluded. It requires the support, love, and elbow grease of everyone involved, but that's not a gift of charity, it's an act of solidarity. Always and everywhere, the oppressed lead the way to real freedom. Nothing about us without us. In both stories, we see that the key issue, the real root of this thing, this phenomenon that we call disability, isn't physical differences of individuals. It is the way society structures the environment in order to include some people while excluding others. There was nothing about the paralyzed man's body that prevented him from seeing Jesus that day. There was nothing about Ed Roberts that made him inherently unable to attend UC Berkeley, navigate his city, or live a full and independent life. It was an unsupportive and recalcitrant university administration, a thoughtlessly constructed built environment, and the prejudices of people in his community that were stumbling blocks on his way to full equality. That's where disability exists, in the structures, not the self. Those structures create beautiful places in my city that I can get to on foot, but still in 2024, I can't share with my wheelchair-using brother in Christ. Those structures create a situation in America where people are somehow less worthy of a permanent roof over their house if they struggle with mental illness or addiction. Those structures create a situation where, because of the accident of our birth or the color of our passport or skin, we're entitled to food, lights, and running water, while the beloved children of God in Gaza starve, shiver, and get torn limb from limb by American-made 2,000-pound bombs to maintain a privileged lifestyle for a tiny global minority of which we are a part. And like I said, sisters, brothers, and siblings, none of this injustice, this exclusion, this disability is inherent in the differences that we all have. We are created as children of God in all of our beautiful difference. And we are capable, through the power of that same Creator, to live together in a way that fully celebrates that beautiful difference without leaving a single soul behind. And that, friends, is going to require us to live and act together in solidarity. In both stories we've talked about today, a radical advance in inclusion happened because people got together, got involved, and got their hands dirty. The rolling quads and their fellow travelers broke down curbs. The man on the mat and his friends punched a hole in a roof. That is the meaning of solidarity. Solidarity goes farther than empathy or sympathy. It's not just seeing desperate poverty on the evening news and having a little twinge of sadness, or reading about homelessness in the Chronicle and filling out a form letter to your congressman. It's about getting involved. It's about realizing that your humanity is only worth as much as the least respected, least liked, least noticed, least included person in your community, and resolving to be free with them and get free with them. Because you recognize that nobody is free until we all are. It means that your special interest group is people. People who are unhoused, people who live with disability. In the kingdom of God, there are no sidelines. There is a place on the field for every single one of us. The paralyzed man's friends smash through roof tiles, and Ed Roberts' friends smash through curbs. And I'm here to guarantee you today that solidarity will demand that you smash through something to get someone free. If you're living in alignment with the force of life that binds each and every one of us together. I'm not just talking about smashing the donate button in that email from your favorite cause or candidate. I'm talking about finding the barriers around you that keep out your fellow human beings and smashing straight through them in love and solidarity. I'm talking about making inclusion, access, and equality your work in every aspect of your life. I'm talking about action. It's not always going to be easy, fun, or respectable. It's not always going to include a fundraising dinner with a silent auction for a wine tasting weekend in Napa. Sometimes the work of us getting free together is going to be loud, dirty, uncomfortable, and inconvenient. I'm sure the owner of that house Jesus was in wasn't thrilled about their roof being torn up that day. I'm sure the planning and transportation folks at Berkeley City Hall weren't over the moon about a bunch of hastily constructed ramps built by amateurs. I'm sure congressmen weren't jazzed about their offices and the Capitol building being occupied by activists demanding the passage of the Rehabilitation Act in 1973 and the American with Disabilities Act in 1990. And I know firsthand, for darn certain, that there were a lot of folks that were not enthused about our presence on college campuses to demand a stop to the genocide in Palestine. But the coming of God's kingdom will not be quiet. And I want to say that justice demands radically reimagining our policing and injustice system, which currently criminalizes disability and hands out summary death sentences to people like Sonia Massey. I want to leave you stirred up, but I also want to leave you with some practical advice to help you get started. Now that full inclusion for all God's children is your lifelong vocation, because it is. The next time you plan an event or plan to attend an event, ask yourself and the people involved, what's being done to make sure everybody can participate? Is the venue accessible with priority seating for those who need it? If there is to be a presentation, will there be a transcript or live captioning available? Will service animals be welcome? In your workplace and your community, where can you find places to put empathy into action? What are the barriers to inclusion? Find them, and then find a nice, big, sturdy sledgehammer. Amen.